Tonight's shiur in Parshas Vayigash. There's a midrash plia, beginning of the sedra. Amar lo Yehuda, b'nimusim shalanu k'siv, im ein lo v'nim kar b'gnei vasoi. V'zei yesh lo l'shalim. Says the Yehuda, when he was arguing with Yosef, not realizing, of course, yet it was Yosef, and he wanted to get Binyamin freed. So he said to him, look, in our laws it says that if a person doesn't have what to pay, if he stole and he doesn't have what to pay, then he is sold as a slave. But this one, in other words, Binyamin, he has what to pay. So why are you taking him as a slave? The question is obvious. What kind of a... Very nice, you're quoting to this Egyptian king, you know, telling him, you know, what it says in the Torah. What does he care what it says in the Torah? Well, it says in our, you know, laws that what does he care about what our laws are like? So, explain that he was using a logic. He says, what's pshat? He says, why would a person buy somebody who stole as a slave? And now he's going to rob you blind. Well, who wants to have a thief as a, you know, work for you, be in your house? You're buying an evid, somebody that stole? So it depends. If the reason why the person stole was because the guy's a kleptomaniac, he's a, you know, he has money even, but he still has to enjoy stealing. So yeah, nechanami, such a person you don't want in your house. But if the reason why the guy stole was because he was a poor man, he's not a bad person, he just didn't have what to eat, and he stole because he wanted some food. So such a person, you don't have to be so scared about it. If you buy him as an eved, and then he's in your house, and you give him three square meals a day or whatever, there's no reason why he should steal. He only steals out of need, out of necessity. And Mela, that's what Yehuda was telling him. Says that's what it says in our Torah. Meaning, same thing over here. He said, if Binyamin was a poor man or whatever, and then you want to take him as a slave, okay, it means that he stole out of necessity, and there's nothing wrong with taking him as a slave. But this one, Yeshlo, Binyamin has. He's not a poor man, so he's a kleptomaniac. So what do you want him anyways? He's going to rob you blind. That's what he's telling you. It's a story, speaking about stealing. There was once a poor man who was very ill, and he needed certain medication. Now, not all medications are in the basket of medicines that are subsidized by the government. So, as it happens, Dafka, the drug that he needed wasn't covered, and it cost 17,000 shekels to buy this from the drugstore. So he had no other choice because, it was his health was at stake. So he goes to the drugstore and he says, I'd like to order this thing. And the druggist said, you have to realize it's 17,000 shekels. So he goes, okay, what can I do, So he said, fine. So the druggist prepares, the pharmacist, prepares the thing, the medication, whatever. He puts it in a little container with a sticker on it, how much to take, how many times a day, all the details. And he puts it down on the counter, and then he goes to the computer, to put in the, to prepare for the bill, or whatever. In the meantime, while the pharmacist is, putting things in the cash, in the computer, so the poor man grabs the drugs and he runs off with them without paying. Because the poor guy, he needs 17,000 drugs. So he grabs it and runs. So what happened? He gets home and immediately starts taking the drugs. So he reads the label, and the label says you're supposed to take 1.0 milligrams. That's 1 milligram of whatever of thing. Meanwhile, the pharmacist had made a mistake, a terrible mistake. He wrote on the, the sticker 1.0, but it was really supposed to be 0.1. And now he's supposed to take 0.1, he gave it exactly 10 times the dosage that he was supposed to take. It was accidentally written on it. Anyways, the guy took the first pill, which was 10 times the amount he needed to take, and the guy was in very bad shape. Okay. Anyways, he was he survived it, but it was very, 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 very serious. So the Shaila came up, was asked, Al pi halacha, does the pharmacist have to pay for damages over here? You know, he wrote 10 times the dosage. You know, terrible thing. But he killed the guy. Almost did. Right? So does he have to pay for damages or not? That was the Shaila that was brought. So the answer was given, Al pi halacha, he's pater. Pharmacist is pater. Why? So for a simple reason that he didn't give him the drugs. He put it on the counter and the guy grabbed it and ran off with it. Had he paid for it and gave it to him normally, he would be responsible, right? But since he didn't give it to him, the condition was you have to pay for it before you take it. And the guy grabbed it, so the lashon is that ihu adazika nafshe, right? He harmed himself. Who told you to grab the thing and run off with it? The al pi halacha, the pharmacist be pater. However, that doesn't mean that he should go without being punished from the government, whatever that's he deserves it for to have criminal charges. Because it's terrible. Rush Lanut. I mean, the guy writes 10 times the amount of dosage. I mean, it's a very serious offense. So he should be taken care of by the government. But as far as between these two people. The pashtus he would be pater al pi halacha. The pasuk ve'ata al tiatzvu that Yosef told his brothers, "Don't worry, don't be upset that you sold me." Is after he revealed himself to them. He says, "Because it was meant to be that I should be here to be able to supply food for you, etc., etc." The story about Ashkacha Pratis. It was a yeshiva, and in the yeshiva, there's one bachur there who was type of guy that always likes to help everybody. Everybody, anytime somebody needed something, you knew he's the address. Yeah. And sure enough, one Shabbos was rolling around, and he didn't have a balkori in the yeshiva. And the guy canceled in the last minute or whatever. And they said, "Now what are we going to do? We need a balkori." So I said, "Of course, go to, Moshe, right? Anything, always go to Moshe." So they go to Moshe and said, "We have a problem, no balkori, whatever." And this was like on Friday afternoon. And it happened to be Parshas Matos Masse. So there's quite a few psukim over there to learn, whatever. But Moshe, of course, I'll do my best, I'll prepare the thing. So the bacher, all Friday night, he's like working. He's till 3:30 in the morning preparing the parsha, to read the next morning, Friday night. Anyway, so he finally finishes at like 3:30, and he hops a, couple, 2-3 hours sleep, whatever, and then has to get up for Shacharis. So lo and behold, he gets up for Shacharis, and what happens? He's totally, totally hoarse. Right? He has laryngitis. He can't speak, can't get a word out. Can you imagine? He's spending hours working on a parsha and nothing, couldn't get a word out. And he says, and it was a pella, right? Because not like, he's feeling sick for the last few weeks, getting worse and worse. It was totally fine. 3 hours ago, it was totally fine. He's been preparing, he goes to sleep for 3 hours, wakes up, can't say a word. So your average person would, say, why is this happening to me? Why are you doing this to me, Hashem? It's not fair. I was being so nice to greet the repair, and I was up all night, and this and that, and now I can't even, read it after all that. But not this bacher. You're Shemayim. Says, okay, I don't understand it. Gamzu Latovo. In fact, because it was so weird, that everything was fine 3 hours ago, and all of a sudden, it's obviously, Mina Shemayim. He accepted it as Gamzulatov. Sure enough, what happened? Little did he know that Dafka that Shabbos morning, a prospective his father-in-law came to the yeshiva and wanted to, he had to, somebody suggest the shidduch of Moishi, his bachur, for his daughter. And he wanted to make a surprise visit and check out the bachur. And as it happened, this father had this hakpada that he wants his son-in-law to be totally involved in learning and only learning. To such a degree that if he's even a balkoire, he wouldn't want him as a son-in-law. if he would be reading from the Torah. Okay, it doesn't make 100% sense. Okay, so what? He's a Baal Korah. But he had his craziness. He said, no, he can't do anything. He can't be Baal Korah. He comes in, the yeshiva, and okay, he sees Moshe learning, whatever, whatever. And he didn't, he wasn't a Baal Korah. Why? Because he was at laryngitis. And sure enough, he took him as his son-in-law, and all was good. So only afterwards he saw why Hashem took away his voice after 3 hours, because this was a shidduch that was meant to be. Another maisa, Yaakov Kuli. He lived in the generation of the time with the he lived in the same time as the Arizal. He was a Talmud of the Arizal, and for his parnasa, he had a business with a partner. And one day, his business partner robbed him blind. He took all the money of the business, and he ran off with it. And Rav Yaakov Kuli nothing he could do about it. He couldn't take him to Beis Din, and the guy ran off. He took his money, disappeared, and that was the end of that. So, again, what can you do? Gamzu Latov, and that was the end of that. Many years later, Rav Yaakov Kuli lost his wife, and he's a widower. And one day he gets a suggestion for a shidduch, right? An off shidduch offer. Shidduch offer was this girl was many, many, many years younger than him, in some other city somewhere. And however, she was a very wealthy, wealthy, wealthy woman. She was many years younger than him, but she was very, very wealthy. And Rav Yaakov Kuli didn't know what to do. Should he go for the shidduch? This young girl, he was an older man already. So he went to the Arizal and asked him, what should I do? Told him the story about the offer. So the Arizal said, grab it. He says, go to this place, wherever it is, and try to finish up the shidduch as quick as you can. Make sure you do whatever you can to marry this woman as quick as you can. So he listens to his Rebbe, and he goes there, whatever, and sure enough, he completes the shidduch, and they get married. Fine, marries this young woman. They were only married 3 months, and the woman dies. The young woman dies. She left her tzavar, will, and when they opened up the will, they saw that she left her entire fortune. As we said, she was a very wealthy woman. She left her entire fortune to her husband, to Rav Yaakov. And she didn't leave anything for anybody else. Nobody was getting anything. All she has, every single last penny I have, is going to my husband, Yaakov. So, okay, he now became a wealthy man. And he went back to the Arizal, his Rebbe, and told him a story, that he in fact married this woman and she died after 3 months and left him her wealth. So the Arizal said to him, yes, I know what happened. Says that who was this woman? This woman was a Gilgul of your business partner that many, many years ago, if you remember, he had his business partner who robbed you blind. Well, he came back to this world, the Gilgal, to this woman, and all this woman's money was money that was coming to you from your business partner. And therefore, it was meant to be that you should marry her and you should die, and then you get your money back from the money that was robbed for you many years ago. In the pasuk Vayichar Beinechem, again Kilimichya Shachani Elokim Lifneichem, that again we saw before, Yosef said that it's meant to be. I should be here to feed you. There's a story of a wealthy man in Yerushalayim who was a big bald staka. So there was the Skabai came to collect from him, try to get a donation from him. He was trying to help raise money for a couple. They were Yatomim. Specifically, the girl was a Yatoman. She didn't have no parents, and she had to get married or whatever. Need money to, for the marriage. Achnasas Kala. So he came to this wealthy man's home, because he knew, you know, he's a Balstaka. And as soon as he knocks on the door, he hears coming from behind the door, like crying and this and that, very bad matzah. So he felt like, uh-oh, I guess it's not a good time, you know. And he's about to leave, but just before he has a chance to turn around, the door opens and the balabait is standing there. He's all like teary-eyed and upset, or whatever. So the gabbai says, oops, you know, I guess it's not a good time, you know. So the balabai says, you can say that again, you know, it's terrible. He says, my son is very ill. And for quite a while, and the doctor is here, and he checked him out, and he said, no hope. Says, your son is going to die, and there's nothing you can do about it, and you can imagine a terrible matzav, and I'm sorry, you know. So the Gabbai, instead of now turning around, says, you know what? He says, la'afach. He said, now is the best time. It's the best time for me to collect from you. And I suggest that you give money and a lot of it. So the rich man said, what are you talking about? So he mentioned there's a famous vor from the Stipler. Right? It says that we say in the morning, Elu dvarim she adam ochel posem balam hazev, keren kayem salam av, elu hein, kibud avin, etc., etc. And it says, over there, bikur cholim, achnasas kala, and levaya sameis, right? Visiting the sick, and achnasas kala, and levaya sameis, and that these things, a person does these mitzvahs. So the Stipler points out that, it's interestingly enough, that the mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala is in between Bikur Cholim and Levayas Ameis, stuck in between the two. To tell us that if you're oisik in the mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala, it'll save you from having to go through Bikur Cholim and sick people and Levayas, etc. This reminds me of a joke that this guy was a wealthy guy, he was a big miser in Kamtzan. And one day, his wife had some leftover chicken that they hadn't eaten for a couple of days. And it was getting like old, whatever, so she was going to toss it into the garbage. You know, it wasn't fit for eating anymore. So her husband's sadist, the miser, and says, what are you doing? What are you? She says, what do you mean? The chicken's no good. I'm throwing it in the garbage. He says, you can't do that. He says, why? He says, well, why don't you throw the chicken in the garbage? It's a waste. So what are you going to do with it? She goes, give me the chicken. Said, fine. So he takes the chicken, goes across the hall, knocks on the door to his neighbor, who happened to be a poor man, and says, hi, would you like to buy a chicken, half price? So he goes, oh, yeah, great, fine. So he buys the chicken from him. Good. And, but it wasn't, it was before a few days before Shabbos. They put it up, the wife puts it up in the attic or whatever, and waits till Shabbos. And Shabbos comes, takes it down. It smelled terrible. It's all rancid and, you know. So, but the poor man, you know, he wanted to have something to eat. So he ate this rancid chicken for Shabbos. Sure enough, Motzi Shabbos, he was in the hospital. So his neighbor, the poor man, the rich man, you know, the miser, said, oh, he's in the hospital. I better go visit him. So he goes visits him in the hospital. Next morning, here's the announcement, the guy died. Poor man died from, you know, food poisoning. So the miser goes to his levaya. And then, of course, they're sitting shiva, and he goes, Menachem Aval, whatever. So after he finishes Menachem Aval, he comes home to his wife, and she says, you see, I told you, you want to throw the chicken in the garbage. I have three mitzvahs from this chicken. Bikur Cholim, Levayas Ameis, and Nechum Avelim. And you want to throw the chicken in the garbage? Anyways, it's back to the story here. So the so the Gabbai said, you know, you want to save yourself from Bikur Cholim, Levayas Ameis, so give the Hachnasas Kala. So he said, okay. I says, how much money do you need for this marriage, for the thing? So he says, I don't know, $30,000. She goes, okay. Goes to a safe, pulls out $30,000, cash, says, here you go, boom. Gives him the whole money for the chasna and everything. And fine. He takes the money, thanks him, and sure enough, his son got better, and the doctors were amazed. They said, it was not Shayach. It was a miracle. The son was healed after doing the mitzvah. Okay. Pasuk says, "Kol nishma beis paro lemor bo achi Yosef veita beinei paro veinei avad." So, Maisa told of with Rav Shach that once it was when Rav Shach was older, and it was Benizmanim in the summer, Benizmanim, it was boiling hot in Bnei Brak, and in those days they didn't have air conditioners, and it was very, very humid there. It was hot and humid, and Rav Shach's mishpacha were, you know, they wanted to do something to help his, you know, the situation, because it was very hot and uncomfortable, and he was, like I said, an older man already. So somebody suggested, they found a place in Yerushalayim for him to stay, which is near Sanhedria, near Beis HaTalmud, and they said, why don't you go for a few days, a little vacation, some, you know, the air is a little bit drier there in Yerushalayim, and you know, get a break from this, you know, intensive heat in Bnei Brak. And they knew just that, you know, tell him to go. They're not gonna, they have to give him the, you know, the, make him feel good. So they said, you know, everything's arranged. There's the yeshiva right next door. You'll be able to have all, you know, yeshiva minyanim for all your minyanim, and you can even sit and learn in the yeshiva over there. But you know, again, the air is drier over there. It's not so hot, and it'll be a little give you a little break. So as much as they tried convincing him, Rav Shach said no. Nothing doing. They said, why? You know, you have your minyanim. This. He says, yes, you're right. I'll have all my minyanim. Everything will be good. And even though I've never taken a vacation before, but you're right. Everything sounds good. However, I can't. I can't go. For a different reason. Why? He says, because every day people come to me with their problems. Yeah, this problem, that problem. And they come to me because they think I can help. So interesting, what did he say? He said that truth of the matter is, he says, I don't know, what can I do? What can I do? He says, but people mistakenly think that I can help them with their problems. Okay, so that's what they think. Well, my son, that's what they think, and that's why they come. And I can't do this to them and leave, even for a few days, and leave these people without a place to come to, you know, to try to find an answer in their mind for their problems. So as a result, in order not to, you know, put these people off, he stayed in Bnei Brak with the heat, with the discomfort, in order to help these people. On the pasuk, v'yagidu lo lemor od Yosef chai. A story. Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the yeshiva in Kol Torah in Beit Vegan, that there's once a balabas, a simple balabatish guy, and he used to come. He used to daven the yeshiva, and he came up to the gabbai in the yeshiva and said that he has yortzeit today. And he wanted to know, it was mincha time, whether he can daven for the amud. You know, even though he was a chassidish guy. He wasn't a bacher, you know, a shiva bacher type. He was a more balabatish chassidish guy. But he wanted to know if in any ways he'll be able to daven for the amud because he had yortzeit. So they asked Rosh Shiva, whatever, and he said, fine. They gave him the okay. So he davened for the amud. What happens after he finishes the Chazar Sashat? So after that comes Tachanun. But him being the Hasidish descent, they're knowing not to say Tachanun when for Yortzeit. So immediately, right after the Chazar Sashat, he zipped right into Kaddish and they're skipping Tachanun. So all the Bachram, you know, were looking at each other like, "What's going on over here?" You know, you don't Yortzeit, you don't. Don't not say Tachanun is because of a yortzeit, you know, and everybody, you know, about to be a big ruckus in the yeshiva, but they saw Rosh Shlomo Zalman was like, quiet everybody down, like, don't say anything, just be quiet and let you know, finish up the davening. Fine. So they finished up everything, and that was the end of that. So afterwards, they went to him and said, "Well, what's going on over here?" So of Shlomo Zalman said, it's true, you know, we don't hold this way, that you don't say, we all do say tachanun even as a yortzeit. He said, but he, you know, where he comes from, that's not the minna. And if we would have, you know, made a big thing about it, would have, you know, would have hurt his feelings. And we felt, would have felt terrible that, you know, here, you know, he wasn't saying tachanun when we were supposed to, and this and that. It hurt the guy's feelings. So he said it was not kedai to make a big thing about it on the guy, that guy's expense. So we see that here, that sometimes it's kedai mevater on tachanun for, you know, hundreds of yeshiva bacharim, just in order not to hurt a person's feelings. So we learn from Shlomo Zalman's actions here. Okay. Now pasuk v'yafag liboy kilo emin lehem. It's a story of a avreich who was a very talented speaker. He used to speak at different, they used to call him for different occasions, and b'miyuchad, and he used to call him like in Arachim, these different seminars, used to go and speak at mechazik people, and remarkes them, mitshuva, etc. So one day he's approached by one of these organizations, and says, they asked him if he would be kind enough to come and lead a Pesach Seder. There's a Seder that they organize for people that are not from or whatever, to mechazik them. And they felt it would be great, he would be perfect candidate to speak there, you know, because he speaks so well, and he'd be the ideal person. So they asked him, would you be able to come and speak at the Seder? So what would that mean? It would mean that right after Shul, he'd like run home and quickly like make like a quick Seder, you know, for his family, and then do what he has to do, and then go to this the Seder of these of the organization and speak there, whatever. So he thought about it, he said, fine, he said he'll do it. But Rabbas Machshavas Belevish, Vatsas Hashem Itakum, what happens? Dafka that night, Leil Seder, he comes home from Shul, and his wife says, we have to go to the hospital. What's wrong? She says, having labor pains. It looks like I'm having going to have my child tonight. So he says, okay, you know, obviously it takes preference. And get into the whatever, they run to the hospital. And as it happens, it's not a great night to go give birth. Why? Because everybody wants to be home on Leil HaSeder with their families. So therefore, the hospitals, the staff is very, very weak staffed in the Leil HaSeder. And it happened to be in that hospital that they went to was extremely so the case. And they had only one midwife for all the women coming to give birth, which was crazy. And, you know, she had to do everything for all these women. It was just too much, like for one woman. But that's where they ended up. And, okay, so the Avreich fell, you know, obviously it's meant to be, and there's no, you're not going to go to the Seder, he's not going to speak tonight, whatever. Okay, what can you do? So he's there with his wife, and his wife turns to him and says, listen, I think you should go speak, you know, you're supposed to speak tonight at the thing, you should go speak at the Seder. He says, what are you talking about? You know, in a normal situation, like, I wouldn't leave you, you know, in Kol Shekein here where there's it's terrible matzav and there's, you know, only one midwife and it's a lot, very tense situation, you know, I'm not going to leave you, I can't leave you. So she goes, no, I really want you to leave. He goes, no. Anyway, she kept pushing, and she says, you have to go. And so fine, so he left. He went and he to the Seder, and what he had to do over there. Finally, when everything was over, he came back to the hospital, and his wife had already given birth. So she called him over, and she said, you know, I got to tell you something, what happened? He says, what? Says, when I, you know, remember I was telling you, you have to go, and you left. Says, no sooner than you left, in comes into the hospital, walks in this woman with like a long white coat, and like a midwife that she hadn't been there till then. She walks in. She walks in, and even though there's a number of women, you know, having to give birth, she walks directly up to me, and she didn't leave my side. She said, whatever I could do, whatever I needed, she took care of just me, as if I had ordered her, as if I paid her. She comes only to me, and took care of me, whatever I needed, and gave birth, she helped with the birth, the whole thing, perfect. And then when I looked at her face, I was like, who is this woman? And I looked at her, I was shocked. Why? Because I noticed this was a Rebbetzin of many years ago that was already Nifter. And she, I guess, came back to life over here to help me. And she helped me, and as soon as she finished and I gave birth, she disappeared, and that was the end of that. So they told us this mice over to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he said, what does he think of this story? And he says that, he says he believes it, right? It definitely can be true. He says, why? He says, because, why did this, why was this woman Zocha for this? Because she was Moser Nefesh for the Torah. For the Torah, for her husband, that he should go and give the shear, and that's chus of being mostly nervous for Torah. Hashem brought this woman from the next world to help her and in her matzah. So that could be. All should be zoicha to siyata d'shmaya and zoicha to the gula shleima. Amen.